Glad that you're all able to make it out this evening. I'm certainly glad to be here and have another opportunity to bring to you a lesson from the Word of God. I hope that everyone was able to have a good holiday season, a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's and all that. I know my family and I did. It was really nice to be able to spend some time at home with one another, not worrying about kind of everyday stuff, you know, for a week or two. And, you know, just having that time to give to one another and laugh with one another and to eat some good food. I've ate a little better the last couple of months than I have for the last couple of years. So that's something that I've been thankful for recently and feel blessed that I'm able to do again. But, you know, one thing that kept coming up in conversations with friends and family and everybody really over the last few weeks is how everybody's happy that 2020 has come to a close, right? The year 2020 was not friendly to almost everybody, I guess you could say. And even it started a little bit before that. I think back in, you know, November 2019. I think my wife's trying to tell me something. Oh. I guess that'll help. Maybe I won't pass out up here now. Anyways, let me get back on my train of thought here. 2020 wasn't real good to a bunch of people. Even going back into 2019. Back in November, you know, that's when the virus first started hitting the news and people started realizing that something was going on. And the fear started to build back then. And then February and March came, and that's when things just totally flipped on us. You know, our whole life just kind of changed all of a sudden. You know, a lot of us stopped going to work, had to try to work from home, right? Like you could accomplish anything with the kids not being in school and, you know, trying to teach them stuff and keep them from killing one another and whatnot. But, you know, there's all kind of changes, even with our church here and the changes we had to make to still participate in serving the Lord and trying to complete His will on this earth. It took a lot of people. You know, I don't think we'd ever broadcasted live a service until that point, and we got it up and running pretty quickly. And I say we, I don't mean me at all. I mean, you know, the tech committee, they did a great job with all of that. But, you know, we've just been faced with one thing after another. And, you know, nobody thought it was going to go on this long. And restrictions, you know, keep coming. The mask mandates and social distancing. Now people are talking about vaccines, and first thing, you know, they're going to have so many out by December. Didn't happen, you know. And they started giving dates when they thought things were going to be normal again. I think the first estimate was March or May, and it wasn't very long. It got pushed back, you know, August, and who knows, now it's probably 2022 sometime. And all that stuff just kind of builds on us. Even, you know, another thing that's not typical in a year that we had to deal with is really our political situation of the country right now. And it don't matter which side of the bench you're on, it's kind of ugly on both sides. You know, it's caused a lot of fear and anxiety, you know, not knowing what's going to happen between now and Inauguration Day, much less after that, you know. And all these riots and protests that have went on this past year, most of which, you know, I'm sure a lot of those people had intentions of being peaceful and just trying to let people know where they stand on certain political avenues and whatnot. But, you know, it just takes a few to start it. And before you know it, there was all kind of destruction and violence, and even death resulted in some of that. More than one occasion, there was lots of violent protests last year. And that's not even talking about, you know, day-to-day struggles that we deal with. Even in the community, this small community that we're in tonight, in this congregation, think over the last year, the sicknesses that we've had to overcome, you know, and that some of our members are still dealing with, declining health. We've had some loss of life, unfortunately. We've had relationship issues that we've been praying for, custody battles, one that's fixing to start, and we'll be praying that hopefully that doesn't last very long and that it has a great outcome. But relationships is something that, is an everyday struggle that we deal with on a daily basis. Something that's really important to us that, affects the rest of our life when our relationships aren't going the way that we want them to go. And even things that we don't hear about as much, but that is prevalent in a group this large is financial concerns and things of that. I mean, there's always things building on us. And through all this struggles that we've had and all this stress and trials that we're going through as a country and as Christians, and we're going to have to lean on the Lord and have a little patience, which brings us to the point of the lesson tonight. Every single day of our lives, we're told, and it's in the Bible, that from day one, from our first breath to the very last breath we take, this life is going to be a life of tribulation. It's going to be worse sometimes than others. If we read the Bible and we try to live a life like God directs us to, then hopefully we'll be able to avoid a large portion of those tribulations that some are not going to avoid by not doing the right thing. But even if we do our absolute best, we're going to come across these struggles, these trials in our life. And even when we're fortunate enough to get beyond some of the bigger trials that we're going to face, once we open that next door, there's going to be another one there. We just hope that next one ain't as bad as the last one, right? It's just going to be one after another. And so knowing that our life in this world is going to be one of struggles, we have to know how to face that as a Christian. I got a picture of a baby up here. Let's just say he's distraught. And it's a perfect emblem or symbol of patience, really, to anybody that's had kids. I was kind of hoping we was going to have some younger members, young adults that hadn't had kids yet. I was going to give them Nathan for a week or so, and out of spiritual education there. No, I love Nathan to death, and he has, allowed us to learn a little patience. But I don't want to leave Kelly out. She has too. that's funny because everyone here understands that it's one thing to read the definition of patience and technically know what patience is, but it's a totally different situation altogether when you're talking about understanding how to live through trials and tribulations with patience, especially biblical patience. There's lots of scriptures, like I said, all throughout the Bible on patience, really too many for a novice teacher like myself to navigate. So I had to come up with kind of a thesis statement to direct me a little bit. So what I'm hoping that we get from the lesson tonight is that, and you can't hardly read it here, but what this says is, patience trains us to be strong in our weakest moments. It's one of those things that's going to grow with us. When we're younger, when we're kids, we have to learn, and hopefully our parents teach us to be patient in little things. And as we grow and as we mature and as our responsibilities grow, that patience is going to have to grow as well. And it's one of those things where the longer we live and the more trials and tribulations that we face, the more patient we're going to be able to become. Let's turn over to James chapter 1 here. And I want to thank Jamie for doing the scripture reading for me this morning. He approved of it. I didn't have it in the bulletin. I got it in a little late, but I didn't just throw a verse in like Steve and change it at the last minute. So I just left it out, and I got with him first thing this morning and told him what it was. But he said, "Oh man, that's a good one. It's going to be a good lesson." So I appreciate that confidence from Jamie there. But We find out here, it says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it as joy. Now, if you ain't looking at this spiritually, that don't make no sense at all. I mean, when you're talking about trials and tribulations, you know, things that are difficult, that have pain and hurt and struggles associated with it, joy is the last thing that comes to mind. I mean, I don't picture myself bringing somebody a bottle of Pepto-Bismol and a case of Gatorade and saying, man, you must be having the time of your life, you know? I envy you, you know? That's just not what happens, you know, especially when it's a more serious situation than that, you know, loss of a job, you know, health, like serious health issues, loss of a brother in Christ, someone who falls away, those type of things. It's hard to see joy in that kind of stuff, you know, and if you're of a physical mindset, it's impossible to see joy in that kind of thing. But as we continue to read, it kind of explains why that is. Let's go ahead in verse 3 here. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So without these things, without these trials, without doing them and trusting in God, we'll never be able to obtain this characteristic of a Christian, of patience. Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, we all know that being a Christian, you know, there's a lot of characteristics that fall into that realm of being a Christian. Patience ain't even described as being the greatest, right? The greatest is love. So how is it that patience is described as needed to make us perfect, to make us complete and lacking nothing? And the thing that he's teaching us here is that through patience is how we obtain all these other things. It's through perseverance, through persistence, and never giving up, and always keeping God first and trusting in God. That's how we're going to obtain every other characteristic he wants us to obtain as Christians. You know, we can look at patience not only in the spiritual realm, but, I mean, even in the physical world we live in, not having anything to do with spirituality, patience is needed to be successful. I mean, it's easy to see in something like a sport. So you take an athlete, even a kid at a very young age, if all they're doing is being dropped off at practice 2 or 3 days a week and having a game on Saturdays, that's still trying to that kid for an hour or two a day, running sprints and learning plays and doing that kind of thing, you know. And like I mentioned earlier, it's one of those things where as you're a kid, you kind of start little in learning patience. But then as you mature, as you grow and develop, then that patience grows with you. So you take an athlete that's older, that maybe has aspirations to go to the collegiate level or play professionally. They're not just going to be showing up at practice and doing whatever, you know, the coach tells them to do. They're going to take that perseverance and persistence and add it to every portion of their life. They're going to put it in their thought process of how can they be the best player they can be. They're going to eat the best nutritious foods that's going to make sure their body is as energized and nourished and in the best shape it possibly can be, the best state it can be, to go through the conditioning that's needed to be a good athlete. You're going to spend the time conditioning, making sure that your body is ready to endure any stress that's going to be put on it in the competitive realm, in the competitive environment during a game. And then you're going to also take that extra time to learn the techniques of, or the skills of whatever sport that you're trying to succeed at. And so you see, it's not just one little thing. It really consumes their whole life if that's their goal. And if it's our goal as Christians to grow spiritually, we're going to have to put that same kind of effort and have that same kind of persistence and and patience toward everything that we face and the thought and effort put into that. Whenever we're being patient in a spiritual sense, it looks different than those who are being patient just to succeed in this world. It's putting our trust in God and knowing that no matter what, it's in His hands and He's going to take care of us. Let's flip over to Romans in chapter 8. We're going to read Romans 8, verses 24 and 25. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Some translations are going to say patience right there. It's this manifestation of trust and hope in the Lord which propels us through these difficult times in our life. You know, we are called to live a life like Christ. And Christ suffered a lot on this world and always unjustly. He suffered for us, never for His own sake. Let's flip in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 20 and 25. 20 through 25. For what credit is it if you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently. But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in His mouth, who, when He was reviled, did not revile in return. When He suffered, He did not threaten, but committed Himself to Him who judges righteously, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died in sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you are like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the Shepherd and Overseer of your souls. So you see here, we're being told that that these trials and tribulations in this life, it's not always going to be a fair thing. It's one thing to endure punishment for something that you've deserved. God's telling us that we're going to have to go a step farther than that in our walk in this realm. And when we suffer, that's not due to fault on our own. Specifically, when our salvation or when our spiritual walk, our commitment to that causes us to suffer, we're going to have to endure that in order to get these blessings that we get through patience. And right here, we're not talking about suffering for the sake of suffering. Jesus didn't suffer for the sake of suffering. He suffered for us, right? There's the verse that talks about turning the other cheek. That doesn't mean go out and find somebody that's going to treat you bad. Or if somebody's treating you bad, ask them to treat you even worse. That's not what that verse means, right? What that's saying is that if you're being persecuted and there's no way to get out of that that persecution while maintaining your spiritual walk, then you have to bear it. You are not able to disobey God in order to get out of any type of trial or tribulation in this life. Now, if we are going through something and we do have the ability to get away from that that struggle without compromising our spirituality, then by all means, we should do that. But whenever that compromises us in any way spiritually, we have to endure it. Living a life like Christ. You know, this kind of reminds me of the time where Jesus was taken up into the wilderness and tempted by the devil. I'm connecting thoughts here. So living a life like Christ, and also the thought that patience allows us to be strong in our weakest moments. We know that Jesus came to this earth. He took the body of a man and He lived the life just like we live it. He had the same bodily needs that humans need. He had to eat, and He went through sickness and illness and all those things. And so after He was baptized, He was taken up into the wilderness, and He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And I kind of have a funny story about that. When I was in my late teens, possibly early 20s, I was sitting in a men's class, and we were talking about the miracles of Jesus. And one of the older men made a comment, and he was commenting specifically on this verse. And he said, I can't believe how Jesus, went up and He went 40 days without eating and, fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And I kind of chuckled when he said that, and the preacher turned to me and he's like, "Why'd you laugh?" And so at that time I was kind of obligated to answer, I guess. And so I was like, "Well, when I think about Jesus and all the miracles that that He performed while He was on this earth, the lives that He brought back from the dead, and just everything that happened, on the day that He was sacrificed, the dead coming back to life and all that, and calming storms and everything." And it was just kind of funny to me that the thing that amazed us was that He didn't eat, for 40 days. But anyway, what He did was He took a human body and He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. So He took that human body and He created it or made it to its weakest form possible physically because He fasted for that long. And He allowed the greatest tempter, the devil himself, to come and tempt Him in a body's weakest form, and the devil didn't stand a chance, Seeing the perfection of Jesus in that moment is exactly what patience, that's what we should strive to be able to do through patience. Patience will allow us to, like we read in James 1, perfect all other things. And Jesus is that symbol of perfection that we're looking to, living a life like Christ. We sing a song called Trust and Obey, and it really goes hand in hand with this lesson. I wasn't able to get with Don before he prepared his songs and stuff, so I wasn't able to get it into the songs that we sang tonight. But I just want to take a minute and read through it. It says, "When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it all away. Not a doubt, nor a fear, nor a sigh, nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief, nor a loss, nor a frown, nor a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on that altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey." This song, like I said, it fits perfect into my lesson. It says exactly what I'm trying to say. And it's just that thought that when we trust in God and we abide in His Word and we hope for the promises of the salvation and the good things to come, we won't have any tears or fears And it's just every step that we take when we're living with that conviction makes the next step that much easier. But we're going to fail sometimes. You know, even Abraham, we look into the book of Hebrews and we get a long list of those who are counted faithful. And Abraham, did I say Abraham? I think I said somebody else, but I meant Abraham. So Abraham is counted among those most faithful, most righteous. And, you know, God chose him to enter into the covenant that would ultimately bless the entire world. Our blessings came through that covenant that God entered in with Abraham. And even in a moment of impatience between him and Sarah caused a countless amount of pain and torment for a lot of people when they didn't wait for Isaac to be born. They didn't go by God's plan. They didn't trust in God. They made their own plan. And we see what kind of situation came of that. Another impatient one, a good study to look at for this lesson, is that of Jonah. Jonah, God told Jonah to go to the Ninevites and to tell them of their wickedness and what was about to happen. Talk about a hammer. God had a big hammer. He was about to drop it, you know. And Jonah, he didn't want to do that. You know, he had other plans. He didn't want to do what God wanted him to do, and he tried to run. And we all know how unsuccessful he was in that endeavor. But he finally gets to the Ninevites, and he preaches to them, and he tells them everything that God wanted him to say. You know, due to your wickedness and all this, that your time has come to an end, that you're about to be destroyed. And then, you know, one of the most miraculous things happened. If you're a Christian, you have to delight in the fact, rejoice in the fact that this large multitude of people, this whole city of Nineveh, has turned their ways around, asked the Lord for forgiveness. And in almost certainty, where they were doomed, they got grace from the Lord. You know, it's how can you not rejoice in that moment, you know, if you're a God-fearing man? But we see that that's not what Jonah felt. You know, Jonah took this message to the Ninevites for God, and he told them that God was fixing to destroy them, so be prepared. And he's upset that God doesn't destroy them, you know. And he goes off, and he's pouting under this tree, and God comes to him. And you just see that because he is not abiding in the will of God. It's one thing now. It's a small step. But it just leads us in the totally wrong direction. It's almost like you're on one of those escalators at the airport. You know, you're in Terminal A. You got to get to Terminal Double Z or something. And so you get in one of those escalators that just kind of you walk with everybody, you know. And what if you was to get on one going the wrong way? You know, then you're walking real hard, but you're not going very far, right? But, you know, you got rails and people all around you, so you just keep going. So that's kind of like our walk in Christ. You know, it's the straight and narrow. Nobody else is doing that. You see people that got on the right escalator, and they're flying by you. You see people that didn't get on one at all, and they're still going faster than you are. But as long as you keep walking and you don't give up, and you're moving a little bit faster than the escalator's moving, you're going to get there eventually. But that minute that you stop, especially if you was to turn around and take a step and then try to change back, you know, you've already went a long way back. And then you got to get started again, and you got to get up to pace again. And by the time you're up to pace, you look up, and you were this far, but now you're a lot farther back. I mean, it's just everything's working against you once you decide to deliberately take that step in the wrong direction. Vince Lombardi said that once you learn to quit, it becomes a habit. And, you know, lying's the same way. Once you tell a lie, it's easy to become a liar at that point. And every step that we take
that's not in the right direction, it's that much harder to get going back in the right direction. And so, as we've read this evening, you know, every little trial and tribulation, when we hold fast and abide into the teachings of God, it makes us stronger and stronger, so that when we are weak at our weakest moment, but we put all that work in, all that effort, and we have all this confidence in the Lord and trust in the Lord, we're going to be able to overcome those hard times. But every time we don't, it takes us in the wrong direction and makes it so much harder for us to get back where we are. So it's so important that we abide in the Lord in every walk of life. God gave us this congregation of like-minded Christians that all want to get to heaven together. Lean on one of us. If you've got a trial, a tribulation that you're maybe starting thinking about wavering, that's what we're here for. That's why God gives us a spouse. We need to be patient in selecting that spouse for our young folks. That should be part of God's plan. You need to be looking for somebody that's going to help you in your spiritual walk, not somebody that's going to hurt you in your spiritual walk. All these things, and we could dive deeper and deeper into it, but every decision. I'm teaching the kids' class Sunday mornings downstairs, and we're in the book of 1 Kings. We just learned about... just had a blank. David's son, Solomon. And, you know, I just was so glad to have that lesson with the kids, because all of us know that Solomon, you know, got that opportunity to speak with God. And God gave him that chance to ask for one thing. If you could have one thing, what would it be? And he asked for wisdom. But not just wisdom, it's how he said it. He wanted to always be in the position to make the right decision. You know, how much of a selfless act was that? He could ask for anything in the world. He wanted the ability to always do what's right. I hope as Christians in our walk in life that that's our goal, to always do what's right, to abide in the Lord, and to lean on one another whenever times get hard. At this time, we'll have a song of invitation. If you have a need, any need at all, please come forward as we stand and sing.